In your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. Starting with verse 11 through 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. The Word of God says, "This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny, he will also or will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, and he cannot deny himself." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you. Lord, we've already had a blessing through your songs, the words, the music. And Lord, we ask this morning now that as we speak the Word of God, that your Holy Spirit will open up our hearts and the eyes of our understanding, that if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, through this passage of Scripture this morning, they may simply by faith trust you and let it be made known. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that if someone here this morning is, Lord, already a child of you and yet they're discouraged, Lord, we pray that they will open up their hearts and listen to the Word and continue to run that race that you have given them. God, whatever decisions need to be made this morning, Lord, we know that you will convict our hearts that we might do the right thing in those decisions. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I don't know about you, but most people have been discouraged at some point in their life about what they're doing or how they're doing things. Life is not easy for the Christian. Don't ever let someone tell you that it's easy being a Christian. You see, Christians are not immune to the things that this world throws at them. We get sick. Amen? We get cancer. We get financial problems. Sometimes we have marital problems. We just have problems in life because this world is full of problems. And I've watched over the past 33 years that I've been here that the strongest Christians fall into pits of despair. The very strongest, the ones that you think are solid upon the rock, yet they fall into pits of despair. And you know, there's always those people in the congregation or out in the world or in the church, whatever it might be, that have those gifts. And the gift that most of the time someone uses is that of discouragement. Amen. I believe some people are just called to discourage. One pastor told me one time, he said, "You know, I've got a bucket committee. Every time somebody comes up with a good idea, they run and throw water on it." And I said, "I know what you're talking about, brother. You've got those people that no matter what, you know what I mean? You may be baptized in 100 a year. You may be growing in your Sunday school. You may be going to town in your church. The Lord is blessing." And somebody comes up and says, "You know, preacher, I just think our church could, man, throw water all over every good idea that somebody has." But you know, Satan has defeated many a good Christian worker because of discouragement and depression. And in this scripture that we read this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 11, chapter 2, verse 11, we find this. This is a faithful saying. Now, 11 through 13 is one long sentence. And in this passage of Scripture, I see God gives us a word to comfort us. Look what it says here. For if we died with him, you know, in the Christian's life, there is comfort in the times of death. This is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, let me tell you something. Death is a certainty. In 33 years, I have lost a lot of friends through this church. A lot of people have come and gone. A lot of people in our choir is gone. A lot of people in the auditorium have gone. They have passed away over the last 33 years. Statistics are very impressive. One out of one die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. You know, this morning you have an appointment that you're going to keep. It's an appointment of death, you see. But a Christian has the blessed assurance in the Bible, God's holy word, that when death comes, we have an eternal home. I praise God that when death comes, the Bible says, I have a home prepared for you. Jesus says, man, I have a home prepared for you. I found 50 cents. Did you know, I told these children to leave money to what my message was worth, and there it is. One of these little kids lost their 50 cents, but, you know, we have that appointment with death. It's going to come in our life, but, you know, I don't worry about that. And I hope you have the same comfort. God comforts us. If we die with him, we shall also live with him. Paul speaks of already being dead in Christ. And the death of Paul spoke to this in Romans 6:4. He says, wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Romans 6:8, Paul says, now if we be dead with Christ, as believers, we have already died. You know, when Christ died on the cross, I put my faith in him, I died there. You see, we died in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God. The moment we put our faith in him, man, I can remember that moment. I give my life to Christ. I came to a spiritual death on my part and a physical. One day I'll come to a physical death on my part. We shall all die. But spiritually, I died, and now I'm alive in Christ. I give up my life to have my life in Christ, and I got a spiritual life in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy says, we shall also live with him. You know, Jesus says, the sting of death is gone. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? John Phillips writes in his book, in God's right, our sight, when Jesus died, we died. When he was crucified, we were crucified. When he was buried, we was buried. When he arose, we arose. That's great. Man, today I stand on resurrection ground because of what Christ did in his life. And I find comfort in those things. When a brother in Christ dies, someone asked me this morning, preacher, what about, is it hard to preach somebody's funeral that don't know Jesus Christ? I said, yes, it is. You know, when I know a person that's lived his life, they have rejected Jesus Christ, and they have died, I know in my heart that they are spending eternity in a place called hell. And folks, that grieves my heart. Man, it's hard to stand up and preach a funeral somebody you know that's in eternity lost. There's no hope for that one to ever change or get out of there. And all I can do is offer hope to the family that if we will trust Christ, we don't have to go that way. We don't have to spend an eternity lost. We can offer them hope in Christ Jesus and say, you know what? Christ died that we might live. We might have life. And I know in my heart that if I died today, I have Jesus Christ there. I would spend an eternity with Christ. And praise God, it gets exciting knowing that over the years, I have lost my father, I've lost my brother, I've lost my uncle, I've lost several uncles, and only one of them that I know of wasn't saved. And oh, I grieve to think that he's lost. But the rest of them, I know that one day I will see again, and I find joy in that. I find hope in that. So keep on keeping on the right path. I keep on preaching. My dear brother, somebody brought him up the other day. Oh, the guy was working with me. He said, you know, I know you. I know your brother. And he started saying, he said, Kent was a wonderful person. He came by the store every morning at 6 o'clock and had a cup of coffee. And he always had time to sit down and talk with me. And I said, that was Kent, all right. No, I tell you what, one day I'm going to sit down and talk with him. The last thing he told me was, Mooney, preach the word. Preach the word. Keep on preaching the word. The next day he went on to heaven. And brother, I knew that I had to keep preaching the word. Oh yes, there's times in my life when I don't feel good. There's times in my life when things are not going very well. And there's times in my life when I get discouraged. But you know what, when I do, when I feel discouraged, I think about the Word of God. And I think about where God says, I have prepared a place for you. And one day I'm coming back, and there you shall be also. And I said, praise God, I'm not stuck in this old world for all eternity. There's something more happy on the other side. You know, I believe it's right there. We just can't see it with these old physical eyes. One day, we see it with our spiritual eyes, though. By faith, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, they saw those things in heaven, not down here on earth, but by faith, they kept that vision. By faith, they kept on keeping on. And we find comfort. And God says, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. I find comfort there. But then I find also comfort in a time of distress. Look at verse 12. If we endure, the old King James Version says, if we suffer. Listen, just as death is a fact of life, suffering is a fact of life as well. No one is immune to suffering. Folks, we're going to suffer in this life. But even when we suffer, we find joy in the Word of God. Even when we suffer, we find things less stressful in the Word of God. Even when we suffer, I think of old Job, we need to remain faithful to God. I don't know what you're going through this morning. You might have some discouragement in your life. You might be worried about death, but if you're a Christian, don't worry about death. God's already took the sting out of it. In the grave, you've got the victory over it. You're going to rise with him. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about suffering. You see, we don't have to. Paul says, if we are faithful, he is faithful. And we'll also reign with him. Now, nobody suffered more than old Paul did. But he suffered in the name of Christ. And folks, he said, the suffering that I have down here, oh, it's just a small thing compared to the glory that I'm going to have in heaven. Oh, I think about that. We can find comfort in the Word of God. And some of God's choice servants have been called on by God to live a life and suffer. Think about it. Some of God's choice servants. Listen, on this earth, we may be filled with sickness and sadness, but in heaven, it's going to be gladness. I was driving home the other day from Tyler. You know, I drive a lot, and I was driving home the other day from Tyler, and I was just thinking as I was driving down the road and praising God, I said, God, I thank you that one day, you know, I don't think heaven's going to be as hot as Texas. Boy, I tell you what, I was just praising him for a good air condition. I was sitting up in that old truck, and I was riding along there saying, thank you, God, for the air condition. And you know what, Lord, one day I'm not going to have this old truck to drive down the highway. I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. I thought about a man. He said, are you rich? And I said, oh, yeah, you just don't know, brother, how rich I am. I said, you know what? My father has gold streets. He said, your father has gold streets. And I said, my heavenly father has gold streets. And you know what? I said, it don't take money to make me happy. All it takes is Jesus Christ. I will be happy, but in heaven, man, my home's going to be there. I don't know what kind of home it's going to be. As long as next door to Jesus, I'm all right. I say, man, life is great down here. Man, there's nothing better than a bowl of Bluebell ice cream and a Diet Coke. And I'm not advertising for either one of those things. But they won't make you fat. You can look at me and tell that. But in heaven, it's going to be gladness, folks. It's going to be joy. And I don't know, somebody said, do you think we're going to have food up there? And I said, I know, Bluebell's heavenly. And he says, cling to that which is good. So there's bound to be a chicken leg up there. Boy, we're going to have a good time. Whether it's food or not, we're going to have a good time in heaven because we're going to be praising God. Don't worry about life down here. Just keep on keeping on. Because the Bible says, you know, if we're faithful over little things, he's going to make us over greater over big things in heaven. You know, I'm going to rule and I'm going to reign with him. Isn't that great to know that? But he also says, listen, we find a word of comfort. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. And if we suffer, we shall reign with him. But then he offers a word of caution. He offers a word of caution right here. Look what it says. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Oh, if we deny him, he also denies a denial on earth. Now that word deny means to contradict. You know, believer's life should not be a contradiction of what the Bible says about our life. You see, we ought to live, we ought to walk, we ought to talk like Jesus tells us to. Nothing does greater harm, I believe, to those who are outside of a church than a believer on the inside living a life of contradiction of what he should be living in Christ. Man, I don't want to be denied any rewards that God has got for me. I don't want to be caught leading some little child astray because of the way I act outside of church. I don't want to be doing things that are hateful. Oh, yeah, let me say, sometimes Christians are just plumb hateful. We need to think about that. See, our witness is seen outside by others, and there are those who are ashamed about their Christian life. You know, somebody told me one time, old preacher, you know, it bothers me when I pray in public. People are looking at it. Well, don't bother me. You ought not to be ashamed to pray in public. You know, that's what we need to do. We ought to pray for our meals. We ought to pray for our friends. After all, Jesus has done for us. How can we deny his love towards others? A denial on the earth. And then he said, if you deny me on earth, I'll deny you in eternity. A denial in eternity. Matthew 8:38 says, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, once again, John Phillips explains that this denial is not to imply an absolute denial of us as God's children. If you're God's children, you're going to be saved. But you know, when we deny the oath and the things of God, and we live in a life of contradiction, man, he's going to deny us those rewards. Not salvation, but the rewards. And they're not the same, folks. Any reward that could have been given as a Christian I believe we'll be denied by the Lord if we deny the things of Him in our life. In other words, let me just say it like I would in East Texas. You cannot stand in the shadows. You cannot hide yourself or your light. You cannot do that and at the gates of glory shout victory, folks. You can't do it. If you are ashamed of the gospel here, you're going to be ashamed when you get to heaven as Christians. Think about that. Well, preacher, no, don't. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Folks, don't be ashamed of your Christian witness. Don't be ashamed to stand up for God. And yet so many hide their light under a bushel. He says, you are the light of the world. Let that light shine. A caution to us. A word of caution. And then there's a word of to convict us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now let's look at that just a moment. The promises that are doubted. Think of all the promises that God has given you and I. Think of them just for a moment, the promises. 2 Peter 1:4, he said, exceeding great and precious promises, they're there. We can believe them. We can trust God for those promises. And yet, many times, we don't. And he said, if we believe not, listen, unbelief and unfaithfulness will keep us from receiving the blessings of God. Did you know God says, I want to bless you? Man, he's blessed us. Man, I just sit down this week. We used to sing a little song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Man, we used to sing it all the time. And I really didn't understand that until I just sat down. I think sometimes the older you get, the more you can just look back and say, you know, God was in this. He blessed me here. God blessed me here. God, man, he just blesses me every day. Romans 4:20. He did not waver. Abraham did not waver. He did not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in the faith. That word stagger, he did not stagger or he did not waver, simply means he didn't withdraw and say, oh God, I don't know if these promises are going to come about. I just don't know if you can do this. No, he didn't stagger. He believed God's promises. He didn't pull back. And then he says, there's promises not only there, there's promises that are dependable. Look at what God says. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Even when we don't believe, the Bible says God remains faithful. God will remain faithful to every single promise he has made, regardless of our faith. God is going to remain faithful. Look at what it says. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. To be unfaithful at any time would be contradictory to what he really is. You see, God is faithful. A great missionary, Hudson Taylor, said, it is not by trying to be faithful, but in looking to the faithful one that I find the promises of God are always dependable. God is always true to His word. He says, if you will bless me, I will bless you. We were talking about money this morning in our Sunday school class. 50 cents is not very much, but I just imagine for that little kid, it's a whole lot. That widow gave all she had, the Bible says, and Jesus recognized her in the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? He says, if you will bless me, I will bless you. And it all starts, folks, with a Christian walk. With a Christian walk. Years ago, 1975, I accepted Christ by my Lord and Savior. I only knew one thing about the Bible. Really, that God is faithful. And I said, God, I don't know how in the world you're going to save me and change me, but I believe it to be true. And you know what He did? He was faithful to me. Every promise to me He has kept. Have I always been faithful? No. There's times that I have been plumb ashamed of something that I said, some criticism or discouragement I threw out there. But you know what? He was faithful to me, even when I wasn't. He was faithful. And He has kept me, and He will continue to keep me. He will love me for all eternity. There's nothing I can do as His child that's going to separate me from His love. I may be separated from the joy that I have in serving Him if I go out and start living a bad life. But if I know Jesus, He's going to remain faithful to me. And if I know Jesus, He's not going to let me continue doing that. You see, I believe Jesus is like this. He loves you so much. Now listen to me. He loves you so much. If you're His child, that if you go out there and commit sin, He's going to let His Holy Spirit inside you work at you and convict you of that sin, and you're going to do one of two things. You're going to come and confess it to God and get your life right, or if you go out there and you continue to sin, He's going to cut your life short. I believe that. You mean He's going to take my life? I believe He loves us too much to let us ruin our testimony for Him like that. And folks, let me tell you something. I have seen that happen in our churches. I've seen people who loved God stand up against the preacher, stand up against the church that He is blessing, and said, I want to do this. I'm against this. And God struck them dead. Boy. That makes you think, don't it? A word of caution. A word of caution. Don't go against God or His church. Keep walking that line. Keep struggling. Keep on letting Him change your heart and your mind. You know, it's a growth process every day in my life. Every day I find out God wants something else, changes my mind about something to His will. Every day you walk with Him. Every day it gets sweeter as you walk with Him. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to. That's the first thing you need to do, is come to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say, well, what about the rest of it? All you need to do right now is trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. He'll take care of the rest of it. Little by little, He'll start making you into His image. Get into the Word of God. Start reading the Word of God. You know, I had a guy tell me the other day, he says, well, he said, you know, I don't have to go to church every day, every Sunday to read my Bible and stuff. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. On Sunday, when you're not at church, do you pick up your Bible and read it? He said, well, and I said, you don't, do you? And he says, no, I don't. I said, on Monday morning, when you get up and you head out to work, do you have a quiet time before you go, or do you have a quiet time at night when you get home? Or? And he said, no, preacher, I don't. I said, see, unless you go to church, you probably don't read your Bible at all, do you? And he knew I was right. And he said, you know, I need to go to church. I said, we both need to be in church. Amen. You see, you don't do the things of God if you're not around His people or in His church. That's something that you've got to set your mind to and say, Lord, help me. And then you know what I find those people? The ones that are probably not here this morning, they're not hearing this. You're hearing this, but let me tell you what happens. They don't come to church. They're newborn Christians. The devil's working on them. Somebody in the church discourages them. I heard the other day, somebody invited a young man to church. He came, and he had a hat on, and somebody said, take his hat off. And he said, I'll never come back to that church again. You don't do that. Don't do that. I'd rather him sit there with that hat on and listen to the Word of God than not ever come back to church again. No, we don't wear hats in church, but it ain't going to kill him. The devil's going to kill him one day. And I don't know who it was. I don't really care, and I don't want you to come up to me and say, I'm sorry I did that. No, I don't know. I don't care to know. But think about what we're doing. A new person in church, our generation, the generation below me, not our generation, but the generation below me, they don't see nothing wrong with wearing hats. And hey, it's not going to kill them. And once you get them saved, God will start working on them. Then they'll take off that hat. I guarantee you, just let it be. Encourage them to come. You see, the old devil's having a field day. He's having a field day. If you don't know Jesus Christ, trust Him. If you know Him and your heart's not right with Him, well, you get it right with Him and you start walking and keep on walking all the way to the gates of glory. If you're here looking for a church home, let me tell you something. These people around you, they're the greatest people in the world. This church is a great church. Oh, we all have problems. We all have somebody that's discouraging sometimes. They don't intend to be. It wasn't done out of bad intentions. You know, we're all growing. We're all learning. It's a process. Boy, but I tell you what, this church is the best church, I believe, this side of heaven. Not because I'm pastor of it, because of the people in it. And if you want to join a great church and God's led you here, we'd love to have you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for these people who've come today to listen to the Word. And Lord, I just believe that the Holy Spirit has touched our hearts. And if there's somebody lost or somebody need to make a decision or just recommit their life, Lord, let them come. Let them come. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.